Hello, this is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guests, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guests tonight, please press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad if you have a question for Senator Haywood and his guest. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Hello. Excuse me. Thank you, you, and thank you to all of the area residents who are participating on tonight's call. Some of the best feedback and ideas I receive come directly from these calls. I'm State Senator Art Haywood, holding this live telephone town hall. I am joined by my special guest, Patrick Patterson. He is the regional director for the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection in southeastern Pennsylvania's regional office. We will discuss tonight clean water at home and at school. We'll answer any question you may have. Now, this format will allow you to listen in and even ask a question from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press *3 on your phone. Now, let me introduce my guest, Patrick Patterson, Regional Director for the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection in the Southeastern PA Regional Office. Patrick, please share some information about yourself with those who are listening.
Well, thank you very much, Senator. It's really a pleasure to join you this evening in your teletown hall. Just another testament to your leadership on issues in the region. At DEP, of course, we're a statewide organization with six other offices, including our central office all over the state. I am in charge of the regional office in the southeast, where we address issues like environmental cleanup and radiation protection, waste management, and, of course, any number of water issues, especially the one we're here to talk about tonight. One of the most important things we do is to help ensure that folks have clean and safe drinking water throughout the region. And of course, in the southeast region, we are faced with some localized embodiment of some national issues involving drinking water, and I know you're going to address those tonight. But once again, it's a pleasure to be here and to work with you on these issues as well.
Patrick, thank you very much, Senator. We're having some folks get on the line. I know they want to ask you some questions, but if you have a question for Senator Haywood or his guest tonight, Patrick Patterson from you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senators, as we have some folks that are now joining us, before they get on, I just want to talk a little bit about some initiatives that you've been involved with and share those with those who have joined us here tonight. You've introduced legislation, Senate Bill 647, dealing with lead testing in schools, and while that legislation is still pending, you were very successful in getting that inserted into another piece of legislation that actually was signed into law in the school code. Senator, can you talk a little bit about your initiative, how you got involved, and what that means for your district and for your region of the state?
Yes. In 2016, I visited Flint, Michigan, as I was visiting my mom in Ohio. And I saw the devastating conditions caused by lead in water. Individuals had to go to certain locations to get their water. I heard stories of children who had developmental losses and developmental challenges as a result of drinking lead in water. And at that time, when I returned to Harrisburg, we looked at the question of, what's the condition of lead in the water here in Pennsylvania? And there was a report that was done that indicated that there were at least 12 towns in Pennsylvania that had very high levels of lead in the water. And so we prepared legislation that had a comprehensive response from testing to remediation. Unfortunately, that didn't pass, but this year, as you have said, in the school code that applies to every public school district in Pennsylvania, they are now required to test for lead in water in all schools, that's charter and public, or have a public hearing to address lead in water. And so I'm confident that school districts throughout Pennsylvania will do this testing, and it's critical. We know that lead in water can really be harmful to children, and I'm glad that we're taking this first step, this very first step of testing to determine where it is so that we can then take the second step of getting rid of it.
Thank you, Senator. For those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight or Patrick Patterson from the EEP, you can press star 3 on your phone's keypad. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad. Just as a reminder, we're going to have a live poll question that the folks that have joined us can participate in very shortly. So we'll have a couple of those tonight as well on our call. Senator, we're going to go to our first caller tonight, though. We're going to go to Idell in Elkins Park. Idell, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, hello. Once again, Elkins Park, PA. There is Tookany Creek behind our houses. Apparently, my deed says I own halfway into that. There has been, for the last 4 or maybe 5 years, a duct with regard to sewage that is used when... Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I heard clicking.
No, you're good.
Now, since April, this sewer project with our laterals has dug up our driveways and whatever gardening we had in the back. My question is, what does this have to do with regard to the sewage, with our quality of water?
So thank you very much, Idell, in Elkins Park. And I was a township commissioner in Cheltenham.
I know you were, Art.
Yes, I have some familiarity. So in terms of clean water and clean sewage, so the pipes that carry the clean water are separate than what carries the sewage. So we're talking about two different systems. However, but that's important. We're talking about two different systems in Cheltenham. Now, I would say with respect to the project of trying to increase the capacity for carrying sewage in Cheltenham, as you know, this has been a big challenge for the township, at least since 1998 or so. I'm aware.
I've only lived here 45 years, so
I understand.
I'm well aware of all the flooding and all of the. Yes, Art, I'm listening.
The township most recently, this summer, made a decision to sell the sewer system to Aqua. And so Aqua, once an agreement is reached, will be the new manager of the sewage system in our
Hold it, Art. What do you mean? I was already told by our township manager that mm-hmm. Aqua already bought the rights.
Well, they put an offer in. They still got to cross the I's dot the I's and cross the T's. So the final agreement is still in process. But Aqua was awarded the system, but there's still some.
Why
our
water bills went up because of this perhaps soon to be their purchasing. What are they purchasing anyway? I was told they were purchasing our land out back.
Aqua's purchasing the sewer system, and there'll be an agreement with Aqua so that sewage rates are not increased for some period of time. I'm not exactly sure the period of time that the township will reach an agreement with Aqua. But for some period of time, the sewage charges will not increase as a result of the Aqua purchase. I also want to share this. Some of the clean water issues that have been encountered because of the contamination at the Naval Air Force Base in Horsham. Some of that contamination has seeped further south, but it has not gone to Elkins Park. And in most instances, Aqua has been able to treat the water so that the water getting into our homes is safe. So I don't want you to feel, A, that the challenges with the sewer system are having an impact on your clean water that you are drinking. It's a separate system. Thanks so much for calling.
Adele, thank you very much for your call. Patrick, I was wondering if you could just contribute some thoughts relative to the importance of sewage projects relative to clean water. I know we have a lot of inflow issues dealing with, especially in storm separation issues and other things like that. But how important is a sewer system to the quality of water?
Oh, I mean, it's crucial. Obviously, the those days of having actually some older communities still do have combined systems that take stormwater and go into to treatment facilities. But the separate systems are critical. The infrastructure projects are even more critical because what you're talking about is inflow and infiltration, which is where the mains and laterals can get damaged, and rainwater and groundwater can get into those sewer systems and increase the volume in those pipes. And then when you have wet weather events like we've had so many of this year, you have instances where the sewage can actually back up and overflow at manholes. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing we try to avoid and try to stay on top of. And those are the kind of the responsibilities that each of our municipal authorities and operations like Aqua have to make sure that the pipe's big enough to hold everything that's in it.
Well, thank you. Adele, thank you very much for your question. Just as a reminder for those that have just joined us, if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, we're talking about water, clean water, and some initiatives that have been developed. Press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to the next caller. This is Linda in Germantown. Linda, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Senator Haywood, we take our drinking water for granted. We turn on the faucet, we turn on the shower, or whatever. So I just want to know, could he explain what goes into that drinking water that we drink every day? And also, I had another piece to it. How do the lead get in there? Is it some kind of chemical that they're treating the water with that the lead gets in, or how does that all work? How does that all tie together?
Thank you so much, Linda. I'm going to give a shot at this, but I'm also going to allow Patrick, who's with DEP, to expound. But number one, our water, Philadelphia Water Department, is all treated with a range of chemicals and filters occasionally to get harmful chemicals out of the water before the water gets to our drinking fountains. And the Philadelphia Water Department monitors the chemicals in the water, monitors the water quality 24/7. So our water is being monitored by chemists and other experts to try to ensure that the water we're drinking is safe. And I would tell you, in my opinion, the water that we're drinking is safe. Number two, for lead, many of the pipes that carry water were made out of lead decades ago. And so we do have lead pipes in some parts of Philadelphia, and depending on the chemicals that are used to treat the lead, sometimes the lead can get into water from pipes. Sometimes these lead pipes may be in the street. They may be between the street and your home. Occasionally, they actually may be in the home because we've got some very old buildings and systems in the city. However, is my understanding from the Philadelphia Water Department, A, that they're doing everything they can to treat the water that we are drinking and that it is safe. Patrick, would you like to add anything with respect to the treatment of the water and how lead can sometimes get into our water?
Yeah, well, I'll just say that that you're really hitting the nail on the head, Senator, with your assessment of all these issues. But yeah, I mean, just to add, the lead is it's definitely from the pipes and the infrastructure, and some of it very old in the city of Philadelphia, and of course under EPA's guidance, the water systems are surveying those distribution systems to see how the water the pipes are that are getting water into people's faucets and everything else. The water itself doesn't typically carry lead, but the pipes, if water sits in it, it will it can, as it corrodes, and there might be soldered joints and things like that. So lead can get in there. So one of the things that you may want to do if you're in an older home is just let the water run for a minute or so before you drink from it out of a tap, just so to make sure that there is no lead sediment in the water. And, you know, other than that, yeah, I mean, it becomes a big infrastructure issue, and the city's working on identifying it, as already all the other public water systems in the state, working on identifying this older infrastructure and moving towards getting it updated and replaced.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda, for the call. Just as a reminder, if you have a question for Senator Haywood or Patrick Patterson from DEP, we're talking about water here tonight. Press *3 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question, press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Ms. Saunders in Elkins Park. Ms. Saunders, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Yes, hello. I just had a question. You mentioned that there were certain areas in Pennsylvania that did have a water problem, and I wanted to know if Montgomery County and Elkins Park in particular and Abington were part of that group with the problem water.
So thank you very much, Ms. Saunders. First, with respect to lead in water, Montgomery County, there were zero towns in Montgomery County that were identified as having high lead in water. Some of the towns that did have it were Altoona, Reading, York, Allentown, some of the older industrial towns in the state with respect to lead. Second, with respect to some of the chemicals that appear to have come from the closing of the Navy Air Base in Horsham, none of those chemicals were found in water coming down through Elkins Park. However, there were some of these chemicals found at a relatively high level that went into some parts of Abington, some parts of Cheltenham, and some parts of Springfield Township. And what Aqua did to respond to these higher levels of chemicals is they closed the wells, they closed the sources of the water that contained the higher levels of contamination, so that those areas no longer, you know, I'm going to be extremely clear, those areas no longer are receiving water that had the issues, because Aqua closed the wells and is treating the water. But as to Elkins Park was never a location for either lead in water or these other chemicals that appear to come from the Navy Air Base.
Ms. Saunders, thank you very much. Patrick, I don't know if you'd like to add a little bit about and about how you're monitoring the different cities in the South, Southeast, and about how you do that.
Well, where it pertains to the lead, there's obviously, as I mentioned before, the systems themselves are responsible for going out and surveying their networks to find out if they do have a lead infrastructure problem. That's an ongoing process, and it's happening all over the state. That's a federal requirement. It's called the lead and copper rule. The callers can check in on, we have a webpage dedicated to lead at www.dep.pa.gov/lead. And there's a lot more information on there about what people can do to protect themselves and their own property. On the issue of the perfluorinated compounds, the PFCs, PFOA, PFOS, we have been working with those systems that have identified contamination in any of their supply systems. Aqua, in a proactive measure, took those wells offline. They were coming in with levels that were lower than what the EPA's health advisory limit were, but they felt out of an abundance of caution that they would take those wells offline and then work with us to get them permits for putting on a carbon filtration systems on those supply wells, which we are more than happy to do. We don't have the regulatory authority to force them to do anything unless they were above that EPA level of 70 parts per trillion. But these wells that were, you know, anywhere from 20 to 45 parts per trillion, Aqua proactively went and stopped serving that water and is working with us now to design filtration systems and get permits to treat those wells so they can bring them back online.
Patrick, thank you very much. Before we take our next caller, I'd like to do two things. One, again, suggest that if you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. I'd also like to introduce our live poll question that those who are listening can participate in. The question tonight is, would you support a line item in the yearly state budget for lead testing and remediation in schools? If you support that, press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not support that, press 2 on your phone's keypad again. But if you have a question for Senator Haywood, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. We'll get you on the line. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Edith in Wincote. Edith, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi. Good evening, Senator Haywood. This is Edie Serby from Wincote, Pennsylvania, and I have a question about the PFOAs for you, and I also have a question for Mr. Patterson. My understanding of the situation is a little different than your understanding, and I'd like to get some clarification. The way I understand it, right now, the water that is in Cheltenham Township does have the PFAS in it at part of the township. The levels are at 11.1 parts per trillion, and another part of the township, the levels are at 24 parts per trillion. And that I know that Aqua is remediating some wells, particularly the wells that they closed. I guess the question I have for Mr. Patterson, and I have a couple of questions here, is, when is the carbon filtration, since you've been talking to Aqua, when is the carbon filtration going to go on the water that Cheltenham gets from the Neshaminy plant? And also, what in the Senate can you do, Senator Haywood, to pass a bill as the bill like they have in the House so that there is a legal limit for the amount of these carcinogens in our water? The bill in the House is for 5 parts per trillion, which is almost non-detectable. Is there something in the Senate? And then also, and there's another question, what can we do to pressure the EPA to clean up the military bases that have been on the Superfund site for decades. I know that was a lot. I can go over it one of time if you would like.
No, thanks so much. Thanks so much. Let me answer a few of these questions really quickly. First, I introduced legislation that goes to the 5 parts per trillion standard in the Pennsylvania State Senate last week, and it is exactly the same as what is in the House. Getting this legislation passed is a priority. We need obviously more support than those legislators in the southeastern part of Pennsylvania. However, these contaminants are a national issue, growing into a national issue, and so I hope that we'll be able to get more support across the state for this legislation. But number one, I have introduced the legislation in the Pennsylvania State Senate. Second, I have written a letter to the U.S. Navy demanding that they engage in the cleanup that is required to stop the release of the contaminants into the water system. I did receive a response from the Navy that was not compliant. They're blaming a number of other folks for the water. But we have made that demand of the Navy. I do have lawyers in the State Senate looking at whether I can sue the Navy to demand that they deal with the contaminants. This site is a Superfund site, so the EPA has significant, when I say the site, the naval base isn't part of Superfund site, and so there's significant responsibilities of the EPA. Third, I do want to clarify that the current standard of 70 parts per trillion has never been hit by AQUA. And so you mentioned the 11 parts per trillion and the 24 parts per trillion. That is, those standards are still below the health standards. They still comply with all existing health standards for water. Doesn't mean we certainly want to get it down to non-detect, but there's not a regulatory, there's no compulsion for AQUA or anyone else to get it to those levels. So I hope those are some quick responses, but definitely want to turn it over to Patrick.
Yeah, and thank you, Senator, for clarifying that point, Lee. The 70 is the number that we are dealing with at this point, so we cannot intervene or compel anyone to take action below that number. I know that, and I'm not going to speak for AQUA, but we've had several public meetings over the last few weeks where they were in attendance, and they had acknowledged that they were looking at their entire system to come up with a gradual work plan to get all of their systems on treatment if there are these PFCs in them. So that's something that they said. Again, I can't speak for them, and you may want to reach out to them to find out what their plan is. On the Horsham Air Guard Station and the former Naval Air Center, the Senator again is right on point. That's an EPA-led remediation with the Navy as the responsible party. On a positive note, we did receive a copy of a soil management and removal plan for the Navy, so they are beginning to take steps to remediate the soil, which in certain hotspots could certainly reduce the amount of PFCs that could be leaching down into the groundwater, and hopefully seeing some of these numbers of water leaving the site, we could see that being reduced as time goes on here.
I should share one other thing I would like to, which is AQUA has requested a rate increase unrelated to these events. They've had this rate increase in the process for some time. And many of us in the legislature, including me, are seeking a commitment from AQUA to develop a plan to take us down to non-detect in connection with the rate increase that they seek. And so they seek a rate increase, not really related to the current conditions, but it is a point of leverage, which we believe we can use to get a commitment to go to non-detect throughout their system.
Edith, thank you very much for your questions. Before we go to the next caller, Senator, I want to give everybody an opportunity to vote on the live poll question. The live poll question is, would you support a line item in the yearly state budget for lead testing and remediation in schools? If you do, you press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, you can press 2 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, press *3 on your phone's keypad. And, Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Donna in Logan. Donna, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hi, good evening. My name is Donna, and I'm in Logan. I have two questions. Well, my question is in two parts. The first part is, I was curious to know how often the water is tested for things like lead and other impurities in the county of Philadelphia alone, just Philadelphia County. Also, is there anything available for individual homeowners and residents to test the specific water that is in their household? I'm a homeowner, and I've lived in my house for about 45 years. I was told it was built sometime after the war. I haven't been able to figure out if she meant World War II or the Korean War. But my house is fairly new. Not that new, but fairly new in comparison. On the other hand, my mother has a very old house that I've since become responsible for, probably twice as old as mine, very, very old. How can I test the water in my own home, and more particularly in my mom's home that's really old?
Thank you so much, Donna. I think Patrick may be in a much better position to respond to how you would test at home. There may be some products that allow you to do that. I'm not familiar with that. Patrick, are you aware of how that could get done?
Yeah, I believe there's on our webpage that I gave out earlier, the www.dep.pa.gov/lead, there is a section called What Can I Do to Reduce My Exposure to Lead and Copper in Drinking Water. Further down there is one of those tips is talks about testing your water for lead or copper. So you can, obviously the PPWD I think has an online system where you can go on and see where what their testing results are, so you know where the supply is and what their numbers are. But there's also a link there and that talks about accredited labs. And gives a list of those if you go on that would be able to test for lead and copper in that system. And if that's not an option, then please, I think the senator's staff is keeping people's contact information. So if the online search isn't an option, we can certainly reach out, or you can call our office and we can direct you to accredited labs that can do that service for you.
So, Patrick, quick question. Thank you so much for the answer. And Donna, thank you for the question. I have a quick question, which is there any home kits that allow for testing, or do you have to go to a lab to get the test done?
You know what? I'm not sure, Senator, if those need to be shipped out to a lab or if there's any kind of ready over-the-counter kit.
We can look into that.
Yeah, that definitely we can look into that and get back with some more information, but that would be helpful, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Donna, thank you very much for your question. If you have a question for Senator Haywood tonight, press *3 on your phone's keypad. That's *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, we're going to go to Mrs. Taylor. Mrs. Taylor, you're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, gentlemen. I was listening to Senator Haywood mentioning that the city had begun testing for lead poisoning or lead evidence of lead in the pipes. I was wondering by which method are they using to identify the lead? And by that I mean, are they going into West Philadelphia, into Germantown, into South Philadelphia, In a big way, or are they sporadically checking in those areas? And if they identify lead, how are they going to let the homeowners in the area know about that?
So thank you, Ms. Taylor. I actually don't have the answer to exactly the methodology that the water department is using. However, I can find out, and we will find out and give you a call and either contact you directly, as well as we'll try to share it on our website so more people can know about the exact procedure that the water department is using to test and what kind of reporting they are providing once they do the test. I am aware, on the other hand, of what's going on in the Philadelphia School District. And the school district has been testing for lead in water since about 2016. And when they have found detected lead, they have taken water fountains out of offline and put in other systems. And of course, this is an ongoing effort. And I talked to Dr. Height about the status of this project at least twice, including a couple Sundays ago. And the school district is making some progress testing and remediating lead in the schools. It's a big project. I'm not saying they're finished, but I think they're well along the way based upon the last report. However, that's just in the schools. Your question was about the homes, and I don't have that answer, but I will get it and we will share it.
And Senator, I'll add that as some of the regulations in the federal lead and copper rule require that on an annual basis that the those water departments, Philly Water Department being one of them, actually go door to door and ask to come inside of residences and apartment buildings and take samples at the tap so that they can find out not only if the distribution system might have lead pipe or so, but that the system that throughout the house and or other buildings has it. So I know that's an ongoing effort as well. It's slow work, but in a big city, but it's something they're tackling.
Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you very much for your question, Senator. We're going to go back to the callers, but before we do that, I'll introduce our second live poll question. It is: Eastern Montgomery County has been found to have high levels of toxic chemicals in its drinking water. Do you support a bill that would lower the acceptable levels for dangerous pollutants in drinking water? If you support that legislation, press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, press 2 on your phone's keypad. Again, if you have a question for Senator Haywood, press star 3 on your phone's keypad. And now, Senator, we'll go back to the callers. We're going to go to Patricia in Glenside. Patricia, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Oh, yes. Hi. Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Mr. Patterson, for holding this town hall. My question to you, I guess, is simple. We live on Willow Grove Avenue between Route 73 and Limekiln Pike, and from what I read, it looks like our area is affected. And my question is it safe for my husband and I to drink the tap water in our home?
That's a straightforward question. Let me give you the answer. Yes, that water is safe. And your area was affected. Aqua identified the well that was the source of the higher levels of contamination, closed the well, and directed water to your part of Glenside from a source that was not contaminated. They switched wells, and Aqua's closed two wells this summer for the purpose of making sure that the water that we drink is safe. So, A, yes, you live in an area that was subject to the higher levels of PFOSs. B, the source was closed. C, a new source was used, and D, the water you are drinking is safe.
Patricia, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers now. We're going to go to Jacqueline in Mount Airy. Jacqueline, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for this forum. It is really informative. So I'm from the East Mount Airy section of Philadelphia, and my name's Jackie. And while I appreciate and fully support all the efforts that you're all taking to address the issue on a larger level, my question is also about how we can mitigate our exposure on a day-to-day basis. So with respect to that, I was driving the other day and listening to NPR, and there was a speaker there. She spoke about some of the things that you've already mentioned about letting the water run for a while and so forth. But they also mentioned, I can't remember the name of the speaker, but she also mentioned selecting, like if you were using it to cook with or something of that nature, using the cold tap as opposed to the hot. And if I remember it correctly, it had something to do with the hot breaking up more, like if the pipes do have lead in it, breaking up more of what was in there as opposed to the cold. Is there any truth to that? Can you speak to that at all?
I cannot. And I appreciate you sharing this, but I'm just not in a chemist. I'm not in a position to, I'm just not knowledgeable enough, even though I'm not a chemist, to respond to that question. Whether it's cold or boiling makes a difference. Patrick, are you more familiar?
Sure. Yeah, that's information that is contained on our webpage as well. It does say that you should use cold water for cooking and preparing baby formula. The lead dissolves more easily into hot water. So if you're going to cook, fill the pot with cold water. And don't boil water to remove lead or copper, because boiling water does not reduce the lead or copper. The concentrations can be higher in water that is boiled, since some of the water is removed as steam. So then you're steaming off some of the clean water, and those lead and copper concentrations are in there. So it's you run the water, use the cold water for cooking and making baby formula. That's accurate information.
Great question and answer. That was thank you so much.
Jackie, thank you very much for your question. So now we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Lewis in West Oak Lane. Lewis, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Hey, hello, gentlemen. How you all doing this evening?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. I had two questions. My first question almost been answered by listening to the other callers. But my last question is back to the old Navy base out there. It used to be
mm-hmm.
the recognized Horsham Guard Base.
Yep.
Well, I was stationed there for 20-plus years.
Mm.
And my theory since I've been out the whole time that day, because it was under Navy control, the Navy was the host of the whole base, and we were, like, tenured on the base. But they used to shut down, used to tell us to drink, get drinking water, bottle of water, and naturally we go ahead and do it. Then later on they open back up and say it's okay. It was on an on and off thing. So somebody gave us a sheriff job. The water was bad all the time, and like I said, Navy was the host. So they were telling us it was good. And now we've had a lot of guys that were stationed out there going through different type sickness, cancer, and everything else. I have too. I went through prostate cancer. A lot of other guys are going through different type of sickness and everything else. I know down at Camp Lejeune, Virginia, they proved it on there that it was a big problem, and they went through a whole lot of system. And the problem is with the government. The government don't tell you everything. You know that. But I am very concerned about what happened out there, and they not tell us the whole story. And where can they prove where this sickness came from? Because we had the fire department use a spray form and everything else to get into the water system, so on and so forth. But I'd like to know where we stand on that, and because it's a serious business, it's a serious thing to all the guys that were stationed out there for years. And,
That's true. Number one, thank you so much, Lewis. I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead on. I'm ready. That's about it.
So first of all, I can't thank you enough for calling in and sharing this with us. There has been some litigation, lawsuits against the Navy, mostly from individuals who currently live near the base who got contaminated water. Now, I am also aware of this as a national problem. There's a number of Navy bases and other bases around the United States which have the same problem because they use a firefighting foam that has these chemicals, not just up in Horsham, but around the nation. I am not certain of how individuals who work there have been victimized by drinking the water or being around the contaminants. I am not certain of what action individuals have taken or can take against the Navy. What I would ask you to do is please contact my office tomorrow or Friday, and we'll set up an appointment so we can look directly into what can be done to those who worked on the base, may have been contaminated as a result of that work. And this is something we definitely need to look into. Please contact my office. That number is 215-242-8171. 215-242-8171. And we will try to find out what other people have done and what the options might be for people who have the same experience as you have had. But I just want to say finally on this question, what you have described to me is outrageous. We will see what can be done. These chemicals have been growing attention in the last 10 years about the extent to which they can be harmful. And we will see what we can do to address what you have just described to us. Thank you so much for calling.
Lewis, thank you very much for your call. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers, but before we do, I want to give the folks who are with us tonight and one more opportunity to vote on the live poll question. The question is, Eastern Montgomery County has been found to have high levels of toxic chemicals in its drinking water. Do you support a bill that will lower the acceptable levels for dangerous pollutants in drinking water? If you do, press 1 on your phone's keypad. If you do not, press 2 on your phone's keypad. And now, Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. And I wanted to follow up. We were talking a little bit about this issue nationwide, and Amy from Elkins Park has a question. Amy, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, Senator Hayward. Thank you for taking my call. As you had pointed out in earlier discussions, that this was a nationwide problem from the use of various firefighting foams at Department of Defense installations. Is there anything that can be done to get the Department of Defense to appropriate more money to address this contamination nationwide, so that people will no longer be exposed to these contaminants?
Thank you very much, Amy. I think that is you're exactly right. That's where we need to go with a broad solution. Right now, the Navy, in their response to me about the contamination getting beyond Horsham, seeping down further south, they basically went into denial mode. So I believe that the Navy will have to be forced to take responsibility. They do not currently appear to be doing it on their own, at least for areas beyond the immediate basis. So I think that this is a place where we may need litigation, lawsuits. It may be a place where we're going to need a lot of citizens demand that the changes be made. And this would all need to be done pretty much through the United States Congress. But I welcome your support in our efforts to make the Navy accountable and pay up.
Amy, thank you very much for your question. Patrick, are you familiar with other military installations with the same type of thing and any other sort of remediation efforts or efforts to bring forward additional information?
Well, I know that the caller is absolutely right, and that this is a pervasive issue, and it exists across the nation. Military bases are just one of them. There are chemical manufacturers out there that made everything from Teflon and nonstick pans and Scotchgard and all those things that we have in our home and carpet protection and any kind of heat-resistant food packaging, microwave popcorn bags, all those things. You know, we're talking about the water, but the majority of our exposure to these chemicals is from these other types of sources, and they were all manufactured somewhere. So there's places where this issue has raised its head beyond military bases, and it's everywhere. It's national, and it's new, and it's an emerging science because it was just discovered in a more recent sampling batch for chemicals, as EPA does every few years. They come out with a list of chemicals that they feel like you need to test for, and this was one of those. It's still unregulated, but we are able to work with some sort of action levels with them. So I think there's a lot more that we're going to learn about this, and there's a lot more sources that may present themselves as we learn more about this issue.
Amy, again, thank you very much for your question. Senator, we're going to go back to the callers. We're going to go to Wilmita in Longcrest. Wilmita, go ahead. You're live with Senator Haywood.
Okay, hello. My question is, my understanding is that the issue in Michigan was due to the pipes, correct, and the filtration unit, but weren't they just replaced, and they replaced them with substandard pipes? And how do we know that the same thing won't happen here as we're replacing older pipes in older neighborhoods or communities?
Thank you very much for that question, Wilmita. Now, I'm not familiar with the pipe replacement in Flint being a challenge, other than the process is going slow and they need a lot more money to get all the pipes replaced. But I was not aware until what you just said that some of the new pipes actually are a problem. So I was not aware of that. In terms of southeastern Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, what I believe we have to do and should do is have communication with the water department and sometimes the mayor to let them know that clean water is imperative. We got to have clean water, and ask them for periodic reports, annual reports on what's the status. And if we can get some reporting on what's the status, those reports will help us to hold the water department accountable. Without the reports, it's very difficult to hold the water department responsible for making sure we have clean water. So it's information that allows us to hold these big organizations accountable. It seems to me that that's the main requirement. Now, Patrick has shared that there is some information that the water department already shares. Well, what is that, Patrick?
With their lead test, I think they do I think they call it a consumer confidence report that any major system has to do, so you can see that I don't want to speak for them because I don't have it in front of me, but I think on their website you can see what their latest results might be for their lead testing and all that, to their water quality report that they publish.
I will take the responsibility of finding the report and sharing it. Probably we will share it in an email and on our social media so that individuals can become aware of what it is that the Philadelphia Water Department is reporting, because it may be they are reporting exactly what we need to know, but we don't know it. We don't have access to it. I will take that responsibility and get that reporting out.
Wilmita, thank you very much for your question. Senator, before we take the next caller and move on, I want to go over to the results of our live poll questions this evening. Poll question one, would you support a line item in the yearly state budget for lead testing and remediation in schools? That was an overwhelming winner, 98% to 2. The second question is, Eastern Montgomery County has been found to have high levels of toxic chemicals in its drinking water. Do you support a bill that would lower acceptable levels for dangerous pollutants in drinking water? That also was overwhelming. The results there were 97% to 3. I know, Senator, we're coming down the home stretch here. I'm sure both you and Patrick have some concluding comments for us before we conclude our call.
Thank you so much. So I'd like to thank everyone for participating in our telephone town hall discussion tonight. And we had a large number. It started off with Adele, Linda, Ms. Saunders, Edith, Ms. Taylor, Patricia, Jackie, Lewis, Amy, Donna. Thank each of you for participating. This is what makes us much more effective, hearing the concerns and putting us in a better position to respond. I also want to thank Patrick Patterson, who did a great job. Again, he's the regional director for the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection in Southeastern PA's regional office. Now, if for some reason you did not have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we will get back to you. Just want to allow Patrick a few closing remarks, and then we'll close it on out.
Thank you very much, Senator. I certainly, once again, appreciate the opportunity to join you tonight. There was a lot of people on the line and a lot of very good questions, and hopefully we were helpful in answering those. And I just want to quickly add that, and I'll send this information to your office, Senator, there is a statewide reporting system for drinking water that talks about the lead and copper compliance issues. So there is a way to search that. If not on PWD's website, we can direct folks to another one and maybe be able to provide that information for you. But again, I want to thank you very much. And I'm not sure I needed to be here based on your extensive knowledge of all these things. I was very impressed. And if the Senate
thank
thing
you.
Doesn't work out for you, you can come work for us anytime.
Thank you, Pat. And I also want to thank Wilmita. I'm sorry I mentioned you. Failed to mention you in the thank yous. I do want to thank Wilmita as well. Again, if you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at senatorhaywood.com. Thank you.
I'd like to thank everybody who joined us here tonight. It was an excellent call with a lot of good information. Thank you for participating in Senator Art Haywood's telephone town hall. You've been a wonderful audience, and thanks for sharing the evening with us.